Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on the Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Weitz, your host. So I don't have to tell you again about how thrifty I am, right? How I love to scavenge the street and climb into dumpsters and eat up every little bit of something before I have to throw away the inedible parts of it or recycle its empty container. I mean, it's how we all should be behaving, really, because we create way too much waste as a people, as it is, and I try to do my part and use things up. And, you know, my thrift comes from having thrifty parents. I would go so far as saying cheap or even pathologically cheap parents, because they both grew up with the war and the Depression, and those things can have an effect on people. And thus, they passed that madness on to me. But it's okay, because I'm proud to be thrifty, and I do indulge and or splurge on things when I want to. I mean, I'm not crazy. I like to get things that I like sometimes, and so I do, but I like to balance it out. And so back in the very thrifty years of the late 70s and early 80s, things were not so good with the economy, and things got really tight around the old suburban homestead after my parents' divorce. And so we had to really tighten it up. Not that we weren't already, but we really had to tighten it up. So like if we brought in the occasional pizza from our local old school pizza parlor, Goodies Pizza, once in a while we would bring a pizza in. There wasn't even delivery back then. Or if there was, I didn't know anything about it. I think we never got delivery because we didn't want to have to tip the guy. I don't know. But sometimes we would bring in a pizza, and if we couldn't finish it, of course, we would save the leftovers. And what we would do is take the individual slices and wrap them in foil individually and then freeze them. So we would have a freezer with stacked up pizzas of varying ages. And then when we'd come home from school, starving in the afternoon, I could take a piece of pizza out, peel the foil off it, throw it in the toaster oven, and wait like 10 to 15 excruciating starving minutes for it to thaw out and reheat and come somewhat back to life, although reheated pizza never tastes exactly the same. But there's nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with old pizza. You couldn't put it in the microwave because, you know, it would get rubbery. And I don't think we even had a microwave back then. Maybe they weren't invented. No, they were, but we didn't have one. And that frozen reheated pizza made for very many tasty afternoon snacks and quick lunches. And that was okay. But we've been through this before. The thriftiness. My thriftiness is old, old news for you. I know. I bring it up a lot. But it ties into the theme of the show all the time. Because foodiness and thriftiness are really antithetical. They're enemies. And so my thriftiness, it's, you know, it's old news. And old news is kind of useless. It just expires. It vaporizes into the ether and becomes irrelevant. Unlike old pizza, which, even eaten cold and congealed right from the box the next day, can really be deliciously satisfying, especially if maybe you're a little hungover. And so, even though this is somewhat old news at this point, I would like to take a minute this week to discuss the news about New York's new mayor, Bill de Blasio, our new mayor, and his epically huge apparent faux pas a few weeks ago of eating pizza with a knife and fork. Now, this became like the biggest story in politics, at least in New York, for a couple of days. Until, of course, the Chris Christie Bridgegate story really blew up, which I am endlessly amused by. Now, in case you only watch E! Or HGTV, here's the recap. Here's the deal. Bill de Blasio, new mayor, was at a lunch meeting or gathering or something in Staten Island at one of the borough's many famed pizza places. Now, Staten Island doesn't really have much to offer culinarily or otherwise, but apparently they really know how to make pizza there. It's like the pizza capital of New York. Now, I can't speak from experience because I never go there. Since I do this show from right inside or behind one of New York's best artisanal brick oven pizza places, and I can have it for free every Tuesday night if I want it, why would I go to Staten Island to eat pizza? But anyway, he was there, and I have heard that Staten Island has exceptionally good pizza. At least they have something. So de Blasio was there, and he was with a group, and they were at some pizza place, and they ordered a few pies, and I guess there was an assortment of toppings, lots of toppings. And the new His Honor didn't maybe want to get pizza grease spots on his tie or on his shirt. So he cut into his slice with cutlery, and the entire media universe exploded around him in an outrage of betrayal to his people and his tribe, apparently. But seriously, what's wrong with using silverware for eating pizza? I mean, have you ever been to Italy? When you sit down to eat an individual little pie in Italy, that's generally how people eat them, with a knife and fork. Not like the slices, the square pieces called etto that you get in Rome. That's by the etto, which is 100 grams. That's different. That's for walking and eating on the street or while you're riding your Vespa and smoking and talking on the cell phone at the same time. That's different. But when you sit down in a restaurant, you generally use a knife and fork. So how can you blame him for not wanting to spend the rest of the day with a spotty tie or a shirt with grease spots on it? I mean, ties and shirts are expensive, and he's a thrifty guy too. Let us not forget. No more Gatsby-esque Bloombergian wardrobe excess. Piles and piles of beautiful shirts and silk ties. Bloomberg probably wears a shirt and tie once and then throws them away. Our new socialist mayor, he's a thrifty guy. He bought a house in Park Slope a long time ago when it was cheap. And that's why I voted for him, because he's thrifty. And I use a knife and fork too if the pizza's messy or too heavy with stuff on top of it. Although I don't like a lot of stuff on my pizza because I'm kind of a purist. Maybe some arugula or a couple of good anchovies, but that's really it. Now, if it's a slice, like a real New York City good slice with a crispy bottom, then it's hands all the way. Of course, you fold it in half and pick it up and eat it. But let's just all ease back and ease up on our new mayor and his eating habits and focus on the important news, like New Jersey's governor and his eating habits and his thug-like bullying and corrupt administration. Or on second thought, let's not. Because I'd rather talk about pizza and what it is and what it was or what foodiness has done to it. So tonight on Let's Get Real, it's the pizza show, or pizza has been so abused, it needs a caseworker. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more about that.
You're listening to Let's Not by Shadowbox on heritageradionetwork.org.
The following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate.
an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Erica Wides, your host. So now let's just contrast the eating of the pizza by Mayor de Blasio in a locally, independently owned Staten Island brick oven pizza place with a story from a few years ago during Sarah Palin's visit to New York on her cross-country bus tour, where she decided to have lunch with Donald Trump. And the Donald decided that because they were in New York, they should have pizza. Because Donald is really an example of a true New Yorker, a man of the people. So when the Trumpster invited her to go out for a slice, they didn't choose any of New York's finest slice places or even any of the so-called elitist handmade artisanal hardwood charcoal harvested by elves in Greenland places. No, the perfectly paired duo ate at Famous Familia in Times Square. Famous Familia. Famous Familia is a chain owned by Albanians, and their other location is in the Phoenix Airport. Now, on The Daily Show, Jon Stewart covered this event brilliantly. And even though I've been called the Jon Stewart of food, mostly by me, I can't really do it justice. So you should just watch his clip online about it, as I did this morning. But suffice it to say, even though Trump also used a fork, Famous Familia is a foodiness pizza shanda. You don't know what a shanda is? Well, look it up. It's Yiddish. Actually, it's not even foodiness. It's just chain store crappiness. Homogenized, midtown, fakey New York pizza for tourists and chumps. I mean, Trumps. Crappiness is different from foodiness. Crappiness is when a product is watered down and cheapened and made into the lowest common denominator version of itself. No love, no attention to detail, nothing handmade or artisanal or quality about it. Things can even be mass produced and not have crappiness, but generally crappiness is about mass production. Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, Little Caesars, all of course, fall under crappiness. A basic New York slice, on the other hand, even an average to middling one, will always beat those chains. And we cannot even discuss Chicago pizza here because I don't even know what that aberration is all about. I don't understand how they're even allowed to call that pizza, but I don't know what that shit is. I'm sorry to my cousins in Chicago who may be listening. I'm sorry, okay? But I don't know. So crappiness is the norm in most of America when it comes to pizza, when it comes to food in general. Although that's getting better. That's definitely improving. But when it comes to pizza, the middle of the road, corporate chain, the mall pizza, the interstate rest stop pizza, the Huts and the Papas and the Caesars, all crap. Now, I've never even set foot in a Pizza Hut ever in my life. Never eaten at a Pizza Hut, never read or seen any Harry Potter, and never eaten at Taco Bell. Just saying. But when the Pizza Hut opened in my town in the late 70s, my family did try it, but I was at a sleepover at someone's house, so I missed it. Now, they came home and they reported back that it was like stale matzah with bad tomato sauce. Now, I'm sure they've improved their quality since then, but I'm still not interested because, like I said, I can eat here at Roberta's every week. Not that I do very often, but I can if I want. Or I could get a slice on the street in almost every neighborhood in New York, except, oddly enough, my own. There are no pizza slice places in my neighborhood. Although with the way that small businesses are being squeezed out of New York, thanks to Gatsby, Bloomberg, there may not be too many slice joints left pretty soon. Just the crap chains. But it's a good thing that we have a new socialist mayor to take care of all of us workers and all of us consultants, too. So crappy pizza is abundant and ubiquitous. It's like crappy everything else. Lowest common denominator. It's insidious. Lowering standards across the board for whatever it attaches itself to, like a virus or a plague, and bringing us all down with it. Lowering us as a people, I think. Now, the first time I had to eat Papa John's, or maybe it was Little Caesars, I don't know, it was one of those chains, was in Indiana, the same state where long ago I tasted my first Pringle and also ate my first blueberry bagel, which is incidentally another major Shonda. I told you, look it up. Now, in Indiana, at least in the late 80s when the pizza eating event occurred, I think that was probably what was available, I guess, because I was with my cousins and it was some kind of family event, a party, something, and they brought in boxes and boxes of it for some kind of thing we were doing, and everyone devoured it, but I thought it was really, really awful, like terrible awful. But it was Indiana, and it was family, so I can forgive, too. And like so much in our bipolar American food culture, we really do have two extremes. And then we have foodiness, of course. Now, on one end, we have the artisanal, the handmade, the Roberta's, the Motorino, the Co., the Pizza Bianco in Phoenix, which is ironically the home of the other branch of Famous Familia. All the thin-crusted wood or coal-fired, minimally topped, handmade, fresh mozzarella pizza that is as close to being in Rome or Naples as you can get without a passport. The fetishistic foodie people's pizza. And in that group, I include the classic New York slice because, while not artisanal per se, is still hand-thrown and handmade by a guy with a non-ironic mustache. And baked in a hot deck oven and not loaded up with five meats and a cheese-stuffed crust and served with a giant pizza-shaped cookie. That's the other end. The craptastic end of overloaded and overstuffed and quantity over quality and USDA commodity surplus cheese sold off for pennies to the chains in order to unload it. And that's where you get things like stuffed crusts and five cheeses and scooter-riding human potatoes who have to be lifted out of their houses with cranes. The reason the chains create those monstrosities, the stuffed crust, the five cheese, the extra meat, all for a dollar, is because the government provides them with incredibly cheap surplus food to give them an incentive to sell it off. The same government that out of the other side of their mouth is saying people should eat less fat and eat less cheese and eat less dairy, but they're really in the business of selling off the commodity stuff. Just saying. Where was I? Oh, people riding scooters who have to be lifted out of their houses with cranes. Right. And I include the terrible chains selling pretend New York slices in that too, in the craptastic. Places like Sbarro and the other chains in New York that are selling the slice, but it's not really the slice. Now, even McDonald's once tried to introduce pizza. Over the decades, they've tried variations of it, but to no success. And that's because they're McDonald's. They shouldn't even be thinking about pizza because they're McDonald's. Obviously, they're Scottish. What do they know about pizza? Real pizza, like from Italy, looks practically naked next to places like the Hut's overstuffed, mega-topped obesity special. It's super thin and barely topped and charred around the edges. It's a simple, beautiful thing. Not too caloric, just filling enough. Not too bready or cheesy. Simple. Pure. Perfect. We're going to take another very short break here, and then we'll be right back to talk about foodiness and pizza.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. Remember that a couple of things. I always say this. You can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can also find Let's Get Real on Facebook. You can also listen to any Heritage Radio show ever on iTunes or on heritageradionetwork.org, the website. You can also check out Let's Get Real's website at letsgetrealshow.com. So many options, all kinds of stuff. So then, of course, there's Maude. No, then there's Foodiness, rearing up its ugly little head in all the wrong places. Foodiness brings us things like frozen, gluten-free, organic, vegan, soy cheese pizza. Basically, nothing at all original to pizza, just a Foodiness facsimile of it. Something sort of pizza-esque. All the basic elements have been swapped out and replaced with doppelgangers. Now, I understand that there are people who legitimately and truly cannot eat wheat or cheese. I get it. I understand that. I'm trying not to eat much flour myself these days. But Foodiness pizzas specifically, and all the supermarket frozen pizzas in general, are changing the definition of what real pizza is all about. It's like the war on pizza. Maybe that's what Sarah Palin was actually talking about. The ever onward march toward the mediocre, the homogenized, the standardized, the frozen, packaged, and processed. Pizza, by its true nature and essence, is a handmade, imperfect, fleeting experience. Eaten hot and fresh with your hands, or not. You can't replicate that in your oven or your microwave. It just doesn't work. You need a professional. Even me, with 20 years of experience in the culinary field, cannot toss my dough into a perfect circle, and I make pretty good pizza. I usually do it on the grill outside, and my pizzas look like insane monsters, but they taste really good. But some things really should be left to the professionals. Not to mention that in order to assemble and bake and cool and wrap and freeze and ship a pizza for the supermarket requires many more resources and a much bigger carbon footprint than just eating one at a local restaurant. And the number of ingredients on that package can be astonishing. Dough conditioners, preservatives, corn syrup, bleached flour, all kinds of dairy additives, antifungals, processed meat products, low-quality cheese fluffed out with non-dairy fillers. What the hell is that? Now, my BFF, Lisa, who lives out in Portland, Oregon, who I'll be visiting in a few weeks, has a mom, and her mom was just diagnosed with a walnut-sized colon tumor. Now, she did smoke for 30 years, but you know what she lives on? Diet Coke and frozen pizza. Do I have to say more about that? Why can't we just leave stuff alone? The plain hot slice on the corner, the handmade artisanal individual pie you might eat with a fork to protect your tie. It evolved for a reason. Over hundreds of years of artisanal craftsmen toiling in hot wood-fired coal oven restaurants, working their craft, honing their skills, bringing it to the new world with all their hopes and dreams until we achieved pizza perfection, which we have. We've reached the pinnacle. Why can't we just leave it alone? Would you go, let's say, to Florence and take a chisel to Michelangelo's David because you think we can do better? I don't think so. Would you say, digitize Gone with the Wind and change something around, like, you know, change Scarlett's accent? I don't think so. Would you tamper with Beethoven's Ninth? No. So why can't we just leave stuff alone? People achieve perfection. They achieve their masterpieces. We need to respect them for that. Let's just leave the plain hot slice as it is on the corner, the handmade artisanal individual pie. Leave it alone. I don't care if you use a fork or not. Just leave it alone. Please don't touch the pizza. But no, the great Foodiness machine marches on, leaving nothing standing in its way. The more the better. Pile it on. Load it up. Gain 150 pounds because you know what? Then you can buy the Weight Watchers version of the frozen Foodiness pizza with gluten-free non-dairy cheese and turkey pepperoni and vegan sausage, and it'll all be there for you in a vast, cold, brightly lit wonderland of frozen foodiness. And don't worry, just eat up, because once you do that, there'll be all sorts of new diabetes drugs coming down the pipeline, more and more and more every day. So remember, if you don't want to eat Foodiness pizza shit, and you want to be a real person and respect the artisanal and the masterpiece and the hundreds of years of sweaty mustachioed craftsmen toiling away in the basements of the old and the new world, remember to keep tuning in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on the Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Weitz. We are just about out of time, so I want to say thanks to my co-producer, Chris Nutter, Ben Kaplan, who wrote my theme music, Evan in the control room, and we will see you all next week. I'm going to go eat some pizza now.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.